Here we are, our fourth and final hour of Sports Talk on August 9th. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Charlie Long at Master Control. I want to wish my youngest, Holden Garrick, a happy 12th birthday today. And, man, 12. Next year he's going to be a teenager, but 12 years old.
August 9th. Boy.
His birthday is 8-9-10. He's born in 2010.
Well, that is special. I tell you what, you look at early August, remember August 3rd, but a number of monumental birthdays. I almost say top of my head, Tom Brady, remember all that? Well, now, you look at August 9th. So, Christian, he might turn out to be famous like these guys. So,
okay, let's hope.
Yeah, so looking at, Bill Russell just passed away, 88 years of age. Basketball Hall of Famer Bob Cousy, is 94. He made 94 today. I remember them showing him at the Australian Open. Tennis Hall of Famer Rod Laver, the complex is named after him in Australia. It doesn't get any bigger than that when you talk about Australian tennis. Well, he turned 84, but Bob Cousy, 94, Rod Laver, 84. I was talking with Mike to tell you about this. You look at College Football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner, John Cappelletti. You have to be, Penn State, he turned 70 today. College Football Hall of Famer and former NFL player, the first African-American quarterback to win the Super Bowl, Doug Williams, turned 67 today.
Wow.
Hockey Hall of Famer, if you know hockey, Brett Hull.
Brett Hull. Penguins?
He's 58.
Was he with the Penguins?
Christian, I think so. I don't know why that's coming to mind, but I know the name, Brett Hull.
Or the Blues. It's one of the – I think the Penguins or the Blues.
Blues, yeah. We shouldn't know that. But anyway, then another one I played against and with this guy Neon
it's the
Dion.
Blues, by the way.
The Blues, yeah, St. Louis Blues. Yeah. Yeah, I should have known that. I'm a wannabe Blues fan because my son is in St. Louis now and went to the Blues game. But I played against him, played with him, and, boy, it just shows you prime time. I don't know. Did he have to cut off his big toe or something? I don't know if he could still run and cover. But prime time, College Football Hall of Famer, the best of the best cover guy, Deion Sanders is 55 today. And August 19th.
Looks pretty good.
And I'll be 62, but he's 55. So August 9th.
My son's in some elite company there.
Elite company, Christian, no matter what the sport, whether it's basketball, whether it's tennis, whether it's football, whether it's hockey, throughout. Yeah, this. A lot of famous athletes born on this day.
Deion wants to be referred to as Coach Prime, right?
Yeah, but does he want Nick Saban to say that, Coach Prime?
They're doing those Aflac commercials together, which I think are hilarious, by the way. All right, we'll step away and come back. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Herzlich next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Bobby and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Joining the show is Odyssey NFL insider Mark Herzlich. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Mark, welcome in. I'm pretty sure I got your last name correct.
Yep. Here, just got a. I got my entrance ding into the my live mic as you were saying that. So I think you did get my name right. Yeah, Herzlich, Mark Herzlich.
Yep. Herzlich, yep, okay. So, Mark, NFL camps are opening across the league. We got the preseason game number one for most teams. I know the Hall of Fame game happened, but if you're the Saints right now, do you let Mike Thomas play? Do you let some of these guys that are perhaps coming off an injury, even Tyrann Mathieu, who started camp late, do you let these guys play in the first preseason game?
No, and there's really no reason to. There's – with the new preseason schedule, obviously you have minimal amount of times to see these guys. But in the first place, this is – I think you really boil training camp down when you look at the new preseason to, like, it's the first three games. Like, the last game anyways was kind of like no starters played regardless. And the first week, no starters usually play anyways either. So I think if you have any guys who are questionable – you sit them, you don't let them play, but you bring them to the environment, you bring them to the atmosphere, because you know, that's something that you know, you remember and you realize, but you get excited for football even more, especially after all those grueling days of camp. When you're sitting at the game, even if you're not playing, you just get pumped up for the season. So, you know, bring them, you know, have them play, obviously, and it's, I think it's one you sit them for.
Mark, today at Saints camp, cornerback Bryce Thompson went down with a leg injury right in front of the media, and it looked like he was in a lot of pain, and we don't know the circumstances. And Bryce Thompson was a dark horse to make this team, but when you see it in practice, man, it just makes you think, golly, that poor young man worked his tail off, and he's probably going to have to miss some time in rehab. And it's just, I would imagine as a player, it's really, really frustrating to have an injury at all, but in particular in practice before the season even begins.
Yeah, and, you know, cause obviously, I think regardless of where you are in terms of the depth chart or the roster, you know, on the bubble or not on the bubble, you just don't want to get hurt in camp. You know, the camp is tough as it is, and you want to protect yourself and you want to get ready for the season. And you've worked so hard. Like, I think a lot of people forget, you know, you don't forget because you cover the team, but people forget that they've been working. I mean, they've already been working for months and months and months. And now to get to this point, being so close to that first opportunity to show what you got on film and to get hurt, it's a devastating thing. And it's mentally very challenging because, you know, hey, this is my opportunity. When am I going to get the next opportunity? And so I feel for guys like that.
Now, Mark, obviously, well, it always got rumors that we have fun with this. And everybody wants to get paid. Now you got to pick and choose who you're going to pay here in New Orleans. You know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson wants to be compensated. He thinks he's the top nickel slot corner in the NFL. And then you got Roquan Smith with the Bears. And I'm just playing fantasy here. I'm saying, boy, if we can have Roquan Smith alongside DeMario Davis, I think that'd be the best duo of linebackers, you know, because we do basically a 4-2-5 concept. And Deontay Taylor has looked that good that even as disruptive as C.D. Deuce, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is, that, boy, if Mickey Loomis can work his magic, is that pie in the sky or what? Because to me, you talk about not a guy just a Pro Bowler, but all pro. And I was telling Saints fans that here's a guy, Roquan Smith. He's like 8 years younger than DeMario Davis. Do you think he gets it worked out with the Bears or what? Or that's maybe a trade could come about with that. Are the Bears that stupid or what?
Well, I think that the Bears have shown that they over the past, you know, however many years, they understand the value of pass rushers, first of all, and they understand the value of linebackers who can make plays. Now, however, that linebacker position, I played linebacker too, and it's a position that you look at and you say, oh my gosh, how much do we need this guy, right? Because, you know, unfortunately, sometimes those guys get slipped between the cracks and they do find somewhere else because they demand amount of money that usually that position you can get away with someone for less. Now, I think you're right. Like, if he can get in, you know, with DeMario,
right.
You know, you talk about 8 years.
We stole him from the Jets, Mark.
Exactly. I know, exactly. So, like, you get a guy like that, and he's been so good and, like, so emotional leader, and he's a league leader, too. I mean, don't forget about that. Like, outside of just the team, like, whether it's in the off season, you know, there are all these conferences and the, you know, NFLPA and stuff like that. Like, he is a league leader. So when you can get a guy who's a young stud underneath him like that, like, I mean, the potential is endless for what those two could do together.
Mark, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says evidence calls for at least a full year suspension for Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. And one of the things that he said, he's quoted as saying in a league meeting, to basically verify the ownership group of the Denver Broncos. He says, quote, "We've seen the evidence. She, the victim, was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence. There were multiple violations that were egregious, and it was predatory behavior." It seems like this all has to do with, and one of our co-hosts, Mike Dettillier, pointed this out. This all really might have to do with the fact that 31 owners are upset with the Cleveland Browns owner because he guaranteed a quarterback and a player $230 million that's never been done before.
And Mark, after you comment on that, why is he even making a statement if he designated Peter C. Harvey to take over?
Undue influence right there.
Yeah, well, I think – so first of all, think about Goodell, like, right – Peter C. Harvey has taken over the neutral arbitration, not because Goodell wanted to turn that over, right? It's because it was negotiated with the NFLPA.
Right.
So that was a negotiated factor. So, you know, he still has a little bit of that, hey, you know, I had control of this before, now I don't. Now, I think my personal opinion, and, you know, not having read all the behind-the-scenes, you know, casework and stuff is, you know, You look at what happened and the accusations and the evidence, and you say, okay, this is a guy who was, he was sexually abusing people. And I think that Goodell is, I don't know his mindset, but you think he's understanding, and maybe since he's farther away from the actual decision, he's looking at me like, wait a second. We're letting this guy who has been sexually abusing women right back into the limelight, and is that good enough? Like, is that sufficient enough? And I do think that there's been media pressure and there's been outside pressure put on this to say, you know, and Goodell needs to make it look all clean and polished for their owners, right? He needs to make the shield without blemish. So right now, Deshaun Watson put the blemish on that shield, and I think that's what happened.
Well, the shield without blemish, they have to look at Mr. Ross in Miami and Daniel Snyder in Washington. You know, talk about hypocrites. Yeah. I mean, come on, Mark. That's a bunch of BS there.
Well, Mark, and also, it's worth pointing out, Mark, the two grand juries declined to bring up criminal charges on Deshaun Watson.
Right. And that makes sense. You know, if you look at any sexual assault case or any sexual abuse case, a lot of times there is not enough evidence to prove them guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. I mean, that happens a lot, and then it goes to civil cases, and it's a little bit different. And so, I mean, that's just how those things work out. And to be honest, what I'm saying is, okay, better late than never. If you're going to get it right, yeah, you might seem like a hypocrite, but let's get it right. Like, if this is your next opportunity to get something right, get it right.
You know, Mark, especially what happened with Ray Rice and the commissioner screwed that up. But the one thing I look at, because the Players Association, they want to have it or the perception, they have Deshaun Watson's back. And I think Deshaun Watson and his camp, they do not want to be, okay, we're missing the whole season. And wouldn't it seem like this would be a compromise? Now, if you're against Deshaun Watson, nobody's changing your mind. And if you for Deshaun Watson, you can accept what's going to come about. It's like Donald Trump. If you for Donald Trump, nobody's changing your mind. If you're against him, it's the same thing. Well, it's like Deshaun Watson. So when I look at, okay, 6-game suspension, what if the arbitrator, Peter C. Harvey, he comes about and says, okay, we're going to give him 12 games. And then, the fine was going to be, I think, right under $400,000. Even to go along with $8 million. But then he still gets to play this season. I think Deshaun Watson and his camp, they want to play this season. And so it seems like that'd be somewhat of a compromise that if you went with a suspension from 6 to 12 games, that you're not giving in to the NFL totally. And so the players do have some say-so, and that being a compromise. Do you think that's far-fetched when you look at it? That'd be somewhat, let's say, I don't know, the fine around the NFL was saying they wanted at least 1 year of fine, indefinite suspension, at least 1 year and $8 million, and having to even have evaluation treatment going into counseling and all that. But to me, you could do all that. And let's say, I'm just going to throw it out there, 12 games, $6 million. And it seems like you're trying to work together, that being the players' union and the NFL management, as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot – this is the reason why they have a neutral arbitrator, right? Because there shouldn't be compromise in this type of case. This should be someone deciding what the punishment is, and you can appeal that. Like, that's a part of the process. You can appeal it and then right. it goes back to the court to decide. So there shouldn't be a negotiation between the NFLPA and the ownership on this. Like, that's you lay out your case and the neutral arbitrator decides. So, you know, I think that it's going to go back, and, you know, it's been appealed, and it'll be up to the arbitrator to decide. And what they decided early on, obviously the first ruling, was that this is along the lines of what's been happening before, right? This is there's precedent set, and, you know, whether this neutral arbitrator decides, hey, I'm going to have the guts, but I'm going to decide to create new precedent in this situation or not. And I think that's going to be the biggest decision that they make.
Now, Mark, before we let you run, thanks for coming on again. Yeah. When you look at the Saints and you look at the NFC, I think, I don't know, maybe some insiders like yourself or a few people, they might be somewhat on that Saints bandwagon, but I'm telling who that nation. And look, we're not in the AFC. Okay, I look at this. Okay, you look at the Rams. Can they defend their title? And you look at Green Bay, obviously, because of Aaron Rodgers. I think they could be a lot better defensively. And then you look at the Packers, Tom Brady. You don't know because it's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. That's why you look at the Packers and the Bucks. But the point being, I look at the Saints, and this happened recently. You know, we beat Tampa Bay twice last year, and we beat Green Bay to kick off the season. So if you perceive it like who's amongst the best at the NFC, I don't know how Vegas. They started out at 7.5. Is it a Sean Payton effect, Drew Brees? It went 7.5, 8, 8.5. I'd be extremely disappointed. I think a lot of Saints fans, if we don't get to double-digit wins. We had all these injuries last year, and we won 9 games. What is your take from like an outside looking at the Saints and where they're at? Because I think, look at the receiving corps, they got so much better. They got one of the better defenses in the National Football League. It's all about Jameis, but we're all excited about Andy Dalton also being the backup. But just break down the Saints. Are we too like pie in the sky and being too much a homer? Or what is your take on the Saints?
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as being too homer. Be proud of your team. I love when people do that. But, you know, I think that when you look at the NFC, and I think you're right, like, there's a lot of question marks. There's more question marks in the NFC on, like, are those teams that are usually good going to be good again? And you have an entire division of the NFC East. Like, you have a whole set that you have no idea. Like, you're pretty sure the Giants are not going to be very good. The Commanders, I'm not, you know, you don't know. The Eagles, I don't – like, the Cowboys might be the only threat from there, really. And so when you look kind of outside of there, you get to – you have a – the Saints have a really – their stadium and their atmosphere and their fan base is a tool, and it's a weapon. So anytime you get people at home, it's huge. Like, having the Las Vegas Raiders at home in October, like, that's big. Having the Baltimore Ravens at home is big. Like, those things are big
right.
for the Saints schedule, because you can use that atmosphere of the dome to win some of those games where if you were traveling during those, it might have been tougher.
Mark, one more. Because of Cleveland Browns' decision to pay Deshaun Watson that guaranteed money, and the next CBA, don't you think that the players are going to really, really harp on getting – fully guaranteed contracts? They tried it before in CBAs, and the owners weren't having it. You have it in the NBA, and you have it in MLB, but wouldn't you think they're going to try?
Yeah, they're not. It's not going to happen.
I agree. I was trying to tell, like, the casual fan and all, the owners will never give that up. They won't give that up across the board because it's a violent sport, and you'd have players, well, no, I'm really hurt, and then nobody's playing.
This will be a little bit of history lesson too for just the listeners of, you know, because I was on the executive committee for the NFLPA for 6 years, and so I was in those negotiations for the new CBA, and actually the guaranteed contracts did not come from CBA negotiations in the other sports. They came from precedent set by players themselves. So, when you look at what the players need to do to get guaranteed contracts, they need to do like the things that Kirk Cousins did to get that contract of, I'm going to franchise me 3 times. Or the players need to say, we're going to limit the amount of times you're allowed to franchise a player even more than they did in this CBA, so that players get to the table and can demand guaranteed contracts when they have that ability to demand it. And then the next guy comes and says, well, this guy got it. Now I want the guaranteed contract. So that is the process for which that happened in the NBA and in Major League Baseball. And that's where you need to get to in the NFL. But there's so many contingencies like franchise tags and stuff like that that are holding the players back from there.
Mark, appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Mark Herzlich. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Well, Christian, okay, listen. Look at Russell Westbrook. And look at his production, what you having to pay him and what's guaranteed. The NFL, that's one thing I think, how's it continues to grow. They would never do that across the board. Now, the ultimate, quarterbacks, that position, I think it'd be position-based who can get the guarantees. You know, Kirk Cousins better than himself and all that. But as far as, the left guard and, getting guaranteed, 20, 30
million. Quarterbacks are going to do it.
Yeah. I would say the skilled people, like Alvin Kamara, those type. But as far as across the board, I don't see how can you guarantee, because it's a violent sport and then players get hurt. And you could say, you're not faking. No, you're really hurt. The NFL owners want you to play hurt. They want you to be motivated and play hurt or you won't last.
Coming up, Paulson Adebo, Saints cornerback, sits down with me, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and Mike Dettillier. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Saints defensive back Paulson Adebo entering his second year. He's having a really good camp. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, and myself sat down with the former Stanford Cardinal.
All right, Paulson, how do you feel like you've done in camp so far?
I feel like I've done overall pretty good. Some things I'm still trying to work on, but I feel kind of good about where I am.
Where do you feel like you've grown from year one to year two?
I think just knowing the defense. Obviously, I played in 17 games throughout my rookie year. Just gives me a kind of a sense of ease going out there now, and then just trusting my teammates, trusting my coaches.
And Paulson, talking with Traquan Smith, he said, boy, Paulson Adebo really is getting it now. That just comes with experience and confidence that almost you're running the routes better than the receivers are and kind of anticipating what they're doing?
Yeah, I think just the more you're around the game, the more experience you get more comfortable, you start to anticipate things and you can see things a little quicker. So I think just overall experience has helped me a lot.
Can you take us back to Stanford? So I know, what year did you miss 2 years or was it 1 year because of the pandemic?
I missed 1 year.
1 year, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, that 1 year sit out for COVID,
it
certainly affected your draft status because you would have been picked much, much higher had you played that particular year. So that experience last year that you've thrown in and, okay, you're not a backup, you're a starter. Right. And so now it's more in between the years, more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I think coming in, we all come in, we play this game to start. Nobody comes in to try to be a backup. So coming in, just wanting to compete, put my best foot forward, be the best version of myself. And if that gives me a starting job, then that gives me a starting job. So that was kind of my mindset coming in last year. Obviously, sitting out a year, there's no substitute for being in the game and playing and getting those live reps. So maybe that hurt me, maybe it didn't. But, you can always play the shoulda, coulda, woulda game. Yeah. And just for me, just focusing on what's ahead of me and just trying to put my best foot forward.
Paul, when you're in those DB meeting rooms and, the corners, you all are sure tacklers. Do y'all pride yourself in that, whether it's you, Lattimore, Roby? It just seems like that you're not just cover guys, but you actually could tackle.
For sure, yeah. I think one of the biggest things we harp on is just, making open field tackles, getting your guy on the ground, right? They get paid on the offensive side, so they're going to catch a pass, they're going to catch a ball, but just trying to limit yards after contact, making sure that if they do catch it, it's catch and touch, and limit the yards after contact.
Paulson, you guys play the Texans in the preseason Saturday. How are you looking forward to that? Seeing somebody else in a different color uniform?
Yeah, for sure. Anytime I can go out there and play in a game, right, that's what we practice for. So practicing is cool, practicing against my teammates, ultimate competitors, but definitely getting a chance to showcase my abilities, on the big stage.
Now, Paulson, speaking of practice and you have to like that the officials are out here, considering that they get feedback of what you can get away with not, because you're coming up and you're jamming.
Right.
When is your hands okay or not? Is that something you also analyze in the meetings when you have officials out here?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Right, we kind of know what's going to get a penalty and what's not, but as a defensive back, I mean, you want to be aggressive, right? You don't want to start playing timid and not play as aggressive. Obviously, if you start getting too many calls, then you have to adjust. But for us, just trying to play, you know, as fair as possible within the rules, but then obviously trying to challenge and be physical with receivers.
All of a sudden, I do the Ed Reed camp every year, and Ed preaches to the defensive backs, two things you got to have. You got to know how to play the ball when it's in flight.
Right.
Secondly, you better have amnesia.
Right.
Okay, one good play or one bad play. Exactly. It's in, and then that's it. You go to the next play.
Exactly. Yeah, to me, cornerback, defensive back in general is one of the more humbling positions, right? So you make a play, this one, everybody loves you. You miss a play, everybody hates you. But you kind of learn that humility, you know, and you understand the ups and downs of everything. And you're going to make a play, you're going to make a bad play. But just that kind of mindset to just shake back and just fight the next play.
And, you know, Paulson, talk about that learning experience. I think the only negative thing we said about you last year was the Giants game when you also forced a fumble and then you didn't, I don't know, hustle or could you think of the ball and then the fumble. So that's a learning experience, just
for sure,
being
yeah.
part of that.
I think I thought it was incomplete,
right?
Yeah. So just, you know, lapse in judgment, but you learn from it, you get better.
What's Chris Richard meant to you, your development?
Yeah, he's been everything, man. Just a leader, you know, on and off the field, somebody that is really, really detail-oriented and kind of can break it down for you. Somebody who has a long pedigree, you know, has coached a lot of great DBs as well. So credibility and just somebody that you can lean on in tough times.
How would you compare the difference, because you're all counting on one another, I don't know, his personality or just relationship or like Lattimore versus Roby? I mean, two different cats or how
I
is
mean,
it?
You know, as far as temperament or what?
Yeah, anything.
I mean, we have a lot of different personalities in the room, but we all want to be great and we all push each other. So that's the common kind of common denominator between us.
You've seen Alante Taylor come in here. He was in a situation similar to you.
I like Alante.
And he was a former offensive player that got moved to the defense. Now, you were a former receiver in high school. And so that adjustment, but also the adjustment from college to the pros for him.
Yeah, I mean, Alante is great, man, as far as just coming in early, right, first one out, last one to leave, coming in with that work ethic, always asking questions, always wanting to be better. So, you know, it's times he does some things and I kind of try to take from him and then he'll ask me questions and take from me. So definitely, you know, mutual respect between me and him and, you know, can't say enough great things about how he's come in and compete early.
Paulson, you have any opinion on, well, you look at the Pac-12, your background, you know, Stanford, big, you know, Cal and Stanford, the big game. And now USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. That just doesn't seem right. Is that the same where to you? And are you concerned with the future in the Pac-12 or what?
Not exactly. I kind of didn't really think about it too much, but yeah.
Who's the comic relief in the DB room? Who's the comedian?
Comic relief. I think we got a lot of fun personalities. I think we're all fun guys. I don't know. I don't think we're all fun.
Is CD Deuce?
CD Deuce is funny.
He's good. In the meeting room, he's just like he is out now.
Yeah, he's good, fiery, and you know, loves to compete, and you know, you love to play with him. So,
how much interaction have you had with the fan base here now in your second season?
As far as, I mean, outside when they come and watch us, we always love their support, and you know, we wouldn't be who we are without our fans. So, anytime we get a chance to kind of see them out, and whether it's sign an autograph or just kind of wave to them and just let them know that we appreciate them. So.
Have you been stopped yet or out and about somewhere? And
out and about.
Could you be incognito or? Oh, there's Paulson.
A couple times, but I mean, you know, I don't mind being stopped if somebody stops me.
Sure.
Right, but I haven't been stopped too much. I mean, I don't think I get out too much, to be honest. I'm kind of a homebody, so.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you, outside of the pandemic, have you been able to enjoy all that New Orleans has to offer culinary-wise, food-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I tried the food a little bit. But like I said, I'm kind of a homebody, so when I'm not practicing, I'm kind of just at the crib chilling. But I do get out sometimes and, you know, whether it's just go to Magazine Street or something and just look at all the shops over there.
Thanks, Paulson. Good luck. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Paulson Adebo, Saints defensive back. We'll step away and come back and wrap up Sports Talk next here on WWL. Wrapping up the show, back at it tomorrow. Padded practice, open to the public. Bobby, when was the last time you shaved your face?
It'll be a month. I got 3 more days to make a month. So almost a month.
And that looks like about...
It looks fashionable to you or what?
No, I mean, you don't even have a full beard.
Yeah, but
after a month,
well, training camp. I have like this is like training camp. I'm just gonna see now. I've never gone a whole month in my life without shaving. And look at T-Bob. T-Bob's the woolly mammoth.
If I went a month, I'd have a full beard.
Yeah.
I envy you that don't have to shave every day, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, but sometimes at night when I'm sleeping on the pillow, it kind of itches.
Yeah.
So I think I am going to shave when training camp's over, so.
All right. Take us home. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out. Bobby, do your thing.
I like this song right here. All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? And go Saints. Go Saints.